I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. In Clarkston, Georgia, outside of Atlanta, Malik Al-Armish is grateful to have a job in a coffee shop. Malik is 23 years old, he's originally from Syria, and he's especially thankful to be living in America now with his sister and their parents. Malik says he got arrested for protesting back home, that he was put in jail and tortured. He escaped to Jordan, and the family applied for asylum in the U.S. 18 months later, they got it. Malik says he didn't know anything about the state of Georgia when he found out that's where the family would be moving 3 months ago, so he Googled it.
The first thing, it was Georgia Aquarium. I saw it, and actually I wanted to be there, so I went there when I came. After 1 month, we went there, and it was very exciting to see the whole ocean between your eyes, and you are inside it. So it's very exciting.
Even without seeing the aquarium, Malik and his family are lucky. If President-elect Donald Trump follows through on his campaign rhetoric, Syrians might not be eligible for refugee status anymore. The World's Global Nation editor Monica Campbell has been following the story. Trump has said Syrian refugees represent this great Trojan horse that would trigger terrorist attacks, Monica. What can he do when he becomes president?
He can do a lot. He can reduce or completely eliminate the number of refugees coming to the United States, including from particular countries like Syria. And this is something where he has unilateral power to do. He also can try and implement more vetting, but it's still very unclear what that type of vetting might look like.
And would this be executive action? Does he have to go through Congress on any of this?
He doesn't have to go through Congress. This is an executive action. He has executive power to do this. And this is something where we also have seen with the appointments that he's made so far, the people who are in his transition team, it suggests that he's at least very much leaning toward either suspending the refugee program when it comes to Syrians and perhaps people from other countries, or stopping it altogether. I mean, he said, you know, we're going to pause things. We don't know if this is something that can be paused indefinitely for a little while. That's still very unclear. But he definitely has the power to stop the amount of refugees coming into the United States from Syria.
There's a lot of vetting for refugees, full stop. But what about Syrians? Do they face more vetting generally than other refugees?
Absolutely. I talked to a couple of people who know very well how this system works. Already, refugees are among the most scrutinized and vetted people who come into the United States. Now, if you're from Syria, it gets even more intense. I mean, there's at least 24 agencies and government authorities who are involved in the vetting of Syrians. They have multiple interviews than any other refugee right now trying to get into the United States. So there's definitely two sides to this, though. I talked to Jessica Vaughn. She is with the Center for Immigration Studies, and that is a group that supports tightening U.S. immigration and refugee flows. And she says that there really is no program strong enough to vet people coming from Syria, because we can't be on the ground in Syria like we could in other countries, for example, Iraq, but we can't verify who these people are, where they're coming from, that this system can be corrupted, it can be penetrated, and that eclipses any humanitarian obligation that the United States has.
The risk of ISIS actually succeeding in getting people through our screening system far outweighs our compassion and hope to help Syrians fleeing danger.
And somebody on the other side of this, her name is Becca Heller. She's worked for years with refugees from war zones, places like Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, and she leads the International Refugees Assistance Project. She says that the vetting system is solid, that it's been in place for over 3 decades, and it was retooled after 9/11. It became quite a bit stronger, and that taking it to another level presents some real constitutional issues.
So to institute further vetting, I think, would look a little bit like we were just looking for an excuse to not let Muslims into the country, which of course would be unconstitutional to have a religious test for immigrating to the United States. and that we were just using vetting as a mechanism to try to achieve that.
Monica, you've met Syrian refugees. What's their overall state of mind right now?
Well, a lot of Syrians in the United States who are, have been resettled in the United States, they're making their lives there, are relieved to be in the United States. I mean, I'm thinking of one family who I've kept in touch with there in California. They left Syria just weeks before their home was destroyed by a bomb. They spent almost 2 years in Jordan before being resettled into California. But, you know, they have family still in Syria. So the worry is that there's going to be this shutdown, that the people that have been left behind are going to be, you know, continuing to face danger in Syria, and you won't have the family reunification that they hope for.
The World's Global Nation editor, Monica Campbell. Great to speak with you, Monica. Thank you.
Thanks, Marco.